pastor or an evangelist, to be equipped to do ministry. We all have ministry in our life. Every single one of us has been called by God to do something in our life. We kind of learned about that when with Jimmy doing the spiritual gifts. Every one of you has a gift that the Lord has given you to do ministry. To do ministry. But so many times, believers today, we get caught up in our lives. We get caught up in our lives. We get caught up in the things of the world. We get caught up in sin. We get caught up in doing so many unfaithful things at times that leads us away from fulfilling our ministry in Jesus Christ. Man, we can get blinded by the world. We don't love the lost like God loves the lost. We don't care and have compassion on people like God has compassion on people. We can mess up many times and not fulfill our ministry. So let me ask you this morning, church, are you fulfilling your ministry in the Lord? Are you fulfilling what God has called you to in your life? It's one of the most important things that you can do in your life to fulfill the ministry which God has called you. And praise the Lord, we just read it. God equips us to do it. Do not think you're not able to do it because God has equipped you to do it. Man, He's so gracious to us. So gracious and merciful to us so many times. But let me give you a little bit of context to 2 Timothy chapter 4. See, more than likely, this was the last letter Paul writes before he dies. It's the last letter to Timothy. And Paul and Timothy, it's like a father and a son. What an amazing relationship that these two have. Paul many times would call Timothy his son. And throughout this letter, we see Paul encouraging Timothy to stay the course, to keep the faith, to run his race, to not give up, not fall to false teachers and false prophets, but to keep going, to fulfill his ministry. He's encouraging Timothy. Chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." We see here Paul is charging Timothy. What a powerful word that is. To charge Timothy to what? To preach the word of God. To preach the word that changes, that corrects, that rebukes, that trains us up. There's nothing better that you could ever do in your life than to preach the word of God. This is what he's urging Timothy to understand, that you need to preach the word of God. And he says, be ready for what? In season and out of season. Well, what does that even mean? In season and out of season, it means when people want to hear it and when people don't want to hear it. This is exactly what he's telling Timothy. Be ready when it's in season and even when it's out of season. When people want to hear the word of God and when people don't want to hear the word of God. And many people today don't want to hear the word of God. Why? Because it actually changes your life. It changes your heart. It takes the sin that you once had. And if you apply the word of God to your life, it begins to remove it if you allow it. And people don't want to always give up their sin. People don't always want to give up their lifestyle and the things that they do, the choices that they make. We don't want some God telling us what to do. But Paul here charges Timothy. What does he say? He says, in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, I charge you, Timothy, to preach the word. Don't say it because, he doesn't say because I'm telling you to. He says, because God sees and God is coming back. What does he say? He says, in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Paul, I love this. It's amazing piece that God, that Paul really understood and really hoped that he would see Christ come back again. You know, that's an important thing to have in your life, to actually believe God's going to come back again. Paul understood that 100%, that Christ was going to come back again. It didn't matter if Paul saw it in his day. All he knew, and he had confidence that God was going to come back again. Do you know you live your life a little bit different when you actually apply that to your life? When you actually live as if Christ is going to come back again, it tends to keep us away from doing maybe some bad things we would do if we didn't think Christ was going to come back again. Maybe it makes us a little bit more urgent. Man, I wish today, believers, you and I, would be more urgent in preaching the word of God. Why? Because at any moment, Christ could come back. And I pray that in your heart you have love and brokenness for the lost that's in this world. Because once Christ comes back, that's it. You have family members, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, dear friends in your life that don't have Christ. We ought to be urgent in preaching the word. And what does he tell Timothy? To preach the whole word. What does he say? He says, correct, rebuke, and encourage. Do you know that if all you did was correct, and you didn't rebuke and you didn't encourage, you've lost the whole Word of God? If all you did was rebuke and you didn't encourage and you didn't correct, you've missed the Word of God. These three have to go together. Why? Because I can be told that I am a sinner, a dirty, rotten sinner, and if someone just told me that and left me be, what does that do me any good? That doesn't do me any good. But if someone says that I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, just like I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, but there's hope. There's hope in Christ Jesus, who washes me white as snow, who forgives my sin like nobody ever could. Forgiveness like nobody ever could give. That's the whole Word of God. If you're not preaching also forgiveness, then you've missed the Word of God. And he's telling Timothy to preach the whole Word of God. And most important, what does he say? With great patience and careful instruction. These two are so important when preaching the Word of God. Praise the Lord, God has so much patience with me. Great patience. But many times, what do? We preach the Word of God. Ah, they don't get it. I'm done. They're not getting it. I'm done. Could you imagine if that's the way God did it to us? Oh, they don't get it. I'm done with them. They don't understand it. I'm done with them. And then he says, careful instruction. Make sure they understand it. Don't say, oh, they just don't understand it. Have careful instruction telling them exactly what the gospel is. What's the gospel? It's the life and death of Christ. That ought to be your focus and your purpose in life, to share the gospel, to preach the Word of God. See, it's great that you study. It's great that you fill your mind and your heart with the Word of God. That's so important. You have to be doing that every day so that you know the Word of God. But if you're not preaching the Word of God, what good actually is it? You have to be willing to preach it. And let me tell you, even though Paul here is talking to Timothy, a pastor here, this command is really for all of us. You don't have to be a pastor to preach the Word of God. You don't have to be the pastor of the church to preach the Word of God. We're all called to preach the Word of God. And here's the sobering thing about all of it, church. Why are we not doing it? You can't expect the pastor, you can't expect Pastor Jimmy to be the only one preaching the Word of God in the world. Why? He's just one man. You can't. And I pray that there's more people than just us preaching the Word of God. There's too many lost people out in the world that need the Word of God, that need Christ in their life. And what is it? This is so important. It's these three words. Preach the Word. What does he not tell Timothy? He doesn't say preach yourself. This is important for the rest. He says preach the Word. Do not preach yourself. See, unfortunately, I've went to some churches, and I'm not going to name any names, where they open their Bible for about 3 minutes. They preach one verse out of the Bible, and the rest is about themselves. That's no good for anybody. It isn't. If I get up here and I tell you about my whole life, now don't get me wrong. Let me pause for a minute. It's okay to share stories, testimonies about what the Lord's done in your life, and use them to help people understand the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you make the whole message about yourself, that does nobody any good. Amen? It does nobody any good, because the thing that changed my life was Christ. It wasn't one of you. It wasn't Pastor Jimmy. It wasn't the person that led me to Christ. It was Christ who changed my life. It was Christ. You got to be ready to preach it. You have to. The Word of God is too valuable in your life. It's too valuable in your life not to share it with others. What do? So often we hoard it. We keep it for ourselves. We cherish it like a treasure, but then we bury it. It's too precious to be buried. It's too precious not to be shown to the whole world. Amen? Amen. Verse 3, it says, for a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great numbers of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Don't we see this in the world today? Do we not see this in the world today? He's telling Timothy here that a time will come when people won't care about the Word of God. There's going to come a time, Timothy, that you're going to have people in your church that want nothing to do with the Word of God. What does it say? It says, instead, to suit their own desires, They're going to find teachers to teach them what they want to hear. Wow, do we see that so often? The world will almost believe in anything else but Christ. So many times. People of the world, we say that this world, so complex and so amazing, came from nothing. People believe that. That it just came from nothing. I'm sorry, that takes more faith to believe that than that God created the whole world. It just does. It just comes from nothing. We'll believe almost everything. We'll believe in conspiracy theories and aliens and all sorts of stuff. Rather than God. Isn't that crazy? I'm sorry, you go to the grocery store and just ask people what they believe, you're going to get all sorts of stuff. You're going to get a plethora of just different things that people believe. But you'll get a lot of people, no, I don't believe in God. That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. He says a time will come when people are not going to put up with sound doctrine anymore. What do we see in churches many times? I see it so often, even today. We will put the people we want to hear in the pulpit to suit our own desires. We allow the LGBTQ community in churches, in the pulpit, to run churches. There's huge splits with denominations. And that's just the start. It's churches that believe God's not really the Son of God, or Jesus is not really the Son of God. You can't call yourself a church if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There's so many different things. Just because the church has a cross on it doesn't mean they believe the Word of God. Does not mean they preach the Word of God. Many of you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you see it. It's everywhere. What do they do? They gather a bunch of teachers around. And they begin just to teach what they want to hear. And even believers have itchy ears. Even believers have itchy ears. So the problem is we get so desperate at times. Maybe you need a healing in your life. Sometimes we need a healing in our life. But we get so desperate, we cling to everything else but the one who brings the healing. I got to pause here. If someone is telling you to give $1,000 and God's going to heal you, I'm sorry, that's not what the Word of God says. If someone tells you, if you live so faithfully and so righteously that God's going to heal you, I'm sorry, that's just not how it works. Because the Bible says that you can even suffer for doing what is good. Sometimes it's just your time. Sometimes it's just the time that God's calling you home. Sometimes it's just the time. Do not think that if you give a pastor so much money that there's some amazing person that they're going to be able to heal you. That's not how it works. But that's what people believe. Hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands and thousands of people believe. That's that doctrine right there. Some people believe that they're gods. Why am I driving this home so much? Because do not think that everyone who comes in the church believes the Word of God. Do not think that everyone who calls themselves a pastor believes the Word of God. Do not be so gullible to think that. Because that's just not how it goes. Satan would love a person in this church to begin to get a bunch of people around to start believing this false teaching. And it spread throughout the church. Can I tell you, many people in this church have tried that. But praise the Lord, He's taken care of it. Praise the Lord, He's taken care of it. See, we got itchy ears. But I love what He says in verse 5 to Timothy. He says, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. See, what is He telling Timothy here? He said, despite all these things, despite them not putting up with sound doctrine, He says, but you, Timothy, He says, be watchful in all things. Keep your head in all situations. He says, do the work of an evangelist. He says, all these things, endure hardship, discharge all your duties. Or some of your translations says, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. This is what He's telling Timothy. Even when these people don't want to hear it, even when they persecute you for believing it, Keep your head. Be watchful. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. This is what he's encouraging. He's encouraging Timothy. Encouraging Timothy here. See, the first one, he says, be watchful. Can I tell you that a shepherd has to keep their eyes open? Why? Because wolves will come. This is exactly what he's talking about in the beginning here. Wolves are going to come and they're going to try to steal the sheep. They're going to try to kill the sheep. They're going to try to destroy the sheep. So a shepherd has to be watchful. He has to be watchful. But let me just tell you, it's not just the pastor that has to be watchful. The people of the church have to be watchful. They have to be able to catch it. And listen to me, in your families, do not think that Satan will not come to try to destroy your families. You got to be watchful in your families. You got to keep your head in all situations. You got to be watchful. And then number two, he says, endure hardships. The church has to endure hardships. Amen. But you got to endure hardships in your family. You got to endure hardships in your family. This isn't all just about the church. He's telling Timothy, you got to endure hardship. Why? Why would he say that? Because it's not going to get hard? No, because it's going to get hard. And many of you know that. It gets hard. Ministry gets hard. Family life, it gets hard. But you have to endure. You got to persevere. You got to move forward. You got to go, and you got to go, and you got to go sometimes despite the hardships, despite the pain, despite the suffering. Why? Because the Word of God is too important. The Word of God is too important not to be preached despite the hardships. And then he says, do the work of an evangelist. Some of us are afraid of that one. Why? Because we say, I just can't share the gospel. I just can't share the gospel very well. That's not my gift, right? We just talked about spiritual gifts. That's not my gift. Well, can I promise you, it might not be your gift, but it is your calling. Even though you might not be, maybe you're not very good at it. Maybe you don't see as much success. So that doesn't negate your calling. Because we're all called to do the work of an evangelist. We're all called to go preach the gospel. We're all called to lead people to Christ. We're all called to do those things. Just because it's not your gift, it is your calling. And then he says the final one. He says, fulfill your ministry. What is he saying? Take it all the way to the end. What happens is we often give up. God calls us to do ministry. It gets too hard. We didn't endure the hardships. We didn't do the work of an evangelist. We weren't watchful. So things came in that we weren't expecting. And then we give up and we quit. And we don't fulfill our ministry. And many times when you're in that state, you get depressed and discouraged. You lose hope when you're not fulfilling your ministry. See, there's two reasons why we don't fulfill our ministry. Really, there's other reasons, but you really can put them in these two categories. Number one is fear. Can I tell you that the Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear? What does it say? He doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God gives you. So if you got the spirit of fear, can I promise you, that don't come from God. If you're afraid to share the gospel, I promise you, that doesn't come from God. Satan would love you to be afraid to share the gospel. He would love you to be afraid to fulfill your ministry, to fulfill your calling in the Lord. He would love for you to be afraid. And the second thing, man, we might not like to hear this, but it's sin. Fear and sin keep us from fulfilling our ministry. I promise you, you will not be fulfilling your ministry if you're living in sin. If you're living in sin, it corrupts our life. It destroys our life. It absolutely drives a wedge between your relationship with God. But praise the Lord, He's so forgiving. Praise the Lord, He's so willing to take us back. Praise the Lord that if you just confess your sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So that you might have fellowship with God. So that you might be able to fulfill your ministry. Does that not tell you that how much God loves you? Does that not tell you how much He wants you to fulfill your ministry? That God would forgive us even despite the sin in our life. Despite when we say no. Despite our fear. Verse 6, it says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. See, we see here, there's a moment where Paul is talking about being completely emptied. What does he say here? He says, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. What is he talking about? He's talking about a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, you would take the wine and you would dump it on the altar. You wouldn't just dump a little bit, you would dump all of it. This is what Paul here is saying. I've already been poured out. What's he saying? He says, my time's about over. My time's about done. And then he says, the time for my departure is near. When I was doing some study, I saw this picture that I thought was so wonderful. It's like Paul is sitting at the airport. He's got his bags packed. He's got his luggage with him. All he's waiting for is one thing, all aboard. That's all he's waiting for. This is the moment that Paul's in right now. He knows it. He understands it. Paul has already been arrested once in Rome. And then he got out for a couple years, but now he's arrested again. And he knows that the time's coming where he's probably going to die. And he says, my departure's near. But what does he say? This is very important. Listen, church. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. When I promise you that if that is what you do in your life, if that is, even despite the hardships, even despite the struggles at times, even despite your temptations at times, even despite when we fall and then we repent and all those different things, God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You fought the good fight. You finished the race. You kept the faith. Here's the issue, church. Many of us, we're not fighting. Many of us, we're not running. And many of us are not keeping the faith. What does that look like? It looks like all you do is come to service and you live just like the world every other day. Now, maybe that's tough to hear, but you'll never fight well. You'll never run well, and you will never keep the faith if that is our attitude, if that's what we do. If all we do is come here to service, but we live just like the world every single day other than Sunday, you will not be fighting the good fight. You will not be running the race that God has marked out for you, and you will not be keeping the faith. And I can promise you, you will be miserable in your life. You will. Maybe you're there today. Maybe that is what you're thinking today. Man, I'm not fighting. I'm not running. And I ain't keeping the faith. Only you know that. I don't know that. Can I promise you that if you want joy and peace in your life, it only comes by coming to Christ for forgiveness. It only comes to Christ for forgiveness. See, Paul here is completely emptied. He's running out of time. Can I tell you that Paul can only say this, these three things, if he knew that his time was coming? Why? Because you can't finish your race until you're with the Lord. You can't finish your fight until you're with the Lord. And you can't say, I've kept the faith until you're with the Lord. It's an ongoing journey in this life. No one has completed it until they reach heaven. Don't already say, this is why he can say, I'm already being poured out, my time is coming. Then he can say those three things. I've done it well. How do you do it well? How do you fight the good fight? How do you run your race? And how do you keep the faith well? You only do that by trusting in Christ. I can't fight well. I can't run well. And it seems like every year I run a little bit slower. But with the Lord, I can run and I can run and I can run. I can fight and I can fight and I can fight. And I sure can keep the faith with the Lord's help. Do not think you're going to be able to do these things on your own, because you will fall. You'll be knocked out in your fight. You'll trip while you're running. And again, you won't be keeping the faith. You've got to trust in the Lord. You've got to trust it with the Lord in your life. Why am I driving that point home so much? Because I want us to fight well. I want us to run well. And I want us to keep the faith. It's so important in our life. So many churches are not fighting. So many churches are not running. So many churches are not keeping the faith. I want to be a church that keeps the faith. Amen? Amen. I hope you want to be a church that keeps the faith. And then he says this interesting piece. We're not going to dive super deep in it because I could do a whole message on it. It says in verse 8, it says, "Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing." What's this crown? What's he talking about? So he's talking about a victor's crown. See, most in Romans' time, you have the Colosseum, and you have these champions and all those things. And when the champion would be victorious, he'd have a crown placed on his head. It'd be like a trophy placed on his head. And this is the word that Paul uses for crown here. It's a victor's crown. It's a crown of victory. And this is what Paul says. I'm getting this crown of victory of righteousness. But he says, it's not only coming to me. Don't think that you can't have this crown because Paul was so great or Peter was so great. No way I'm getting a crown. No, what does he say? He says, not only to me, but all to those who longed for his appearing. I pray that you long for the appearing of Christ. I hope you pray. I hope you long for that in your life. I want to read just this one passage, 1 Corinthians 9:25. It says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." See, this crown of righteousness, these crowns that we get in heaven, they last forever. They do not perish, they do not waste away, but any victory that you have in this world, I promise you, in your life, it will waste away. It won't last forever. See, Jimmy even last week talked about a U-Haul isn't coming with you to the grave. It's not coming with you to the grave. Your trophies here, your first place, your second place, your participation trophies, they're not coming with you. But the trophies and the awards and all those things that Christ gives last forever. Is that not amazing to you, church? That God, he saved you, and many of us, you're just like I am. Lord, I don't need a crown. You'd already did the most amazing thing. But God gives way too graciously for that. Accept God's gifts in your life. Accept his rewards in your life. Accept his inheritance, because there's nothing greater. And do not forsake God's blessing in your life, the great giver that gives it. Our crown is not perishing, but it lasts forever. Remember that. Remember that in your life. Verse 9, here we kind of switch things up. He says, do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Malta. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. Because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Titus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left Carpus in Troas, in my scrolls, especially the parchment. Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm, and the Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against him. What is Paul? This is kind of a hard thing, right? We kind of see Paul's loneliness here. What does he say? He says, this person absolutely deserted me. Why? Because he loved the world. And then you have these other people, though they left for good reasons, more than likely Paul might have even sent them out. He's still all by himself. He says, all I have is Luke. Poor Luke, right? Hopefully Luke didn't read the letter. But he's all alone. And what does he say? He says, this Alexander guy that I've already mentioned before in 1 Timothy, he did me a great deal of harm. What probably happened? See, Paul had a trial. And most people believe that Alexander probably spoke against him and his message. What was these charges against Paul? See, the charges were that they wouldn't bow to Caesar. They bowed to Jesus. And there was another one, is that it was kind of odd that they believed that Christians were cannibals, because they would say that they ate the body of Christ and drank the blood of Jesus through eating the bread and drinking the wine. And that was enough to kill him. That was enough to take out Paul. But Paul says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Paul here is all alone. And let me tell you, in ministry and in your life, people will abandon you. Now, I know that's not all happy and sunshine, but in ministry, people will leave you, they will abandon you. For good reason sometimes. Sometimes God calls them to somewhere else, but there are times that it's bad reasons. They try to tank your name. They try to say all evil things about you. Say you're a horrible person. See, don't think that ministry is going to just be rainbows and sunshine all the time, because it wasn't for Paul. Paul's in prison for the second time in Rome. And this time, no one even came to his defense. No one was even there for him. People did him harm. People left him, deserted him. Just left him completely alone. And I'll promise you, Satan will use people to try to destroy you. What does he tell Timothy here about Alexander? He says, you should be on your guard too. Don't think that this guy's going to come and he's going to help. See, many churches, what do? We say, well, you know, he might have changed. Doesn't matter. Still got to be on your guard. Still have to be on your guard. Again, I'm going to say, because it's so important for us to understand, don't think that everybody that comes in this place has good intentions, because they don't. Not everybody. I pray that you all have good intentions. I hope you do. But not everybody that will walk in this place from the start date to the end date will have good intentions. Many people have come with division in their heart. Oh, I'm going to take out the pastor. I'm going to take out so-and-so. They don't always have good intentions in their mind. But here's the hope in all this. Verse 17, it says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed to all the Gentiles, so all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. And the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen, church. God is always with you. Even when the world is against you, even when in ministry people abandon you, even when you feel all alone, even when people deny the message of Christ, it doesn't matter. Why? Because the Lord stands beside you. The Lord is always with you. And he says he gave me strength. Even in the moment that I'm the weakest, even in the moment where I'm in chains and shackles and people are always out to get me, it doesn't matter, because it is the Lord that gives me strength. Amen? So even in the hardships in your life, always remember that the Lord gives you strength. The Lord stands at your side. The Lord is always with you. He redeems and delivers us from the evil one so many times. He delivers us from Satan so many times. When Satan wants to destroy your life, to strangle you and destroy you and kill you, it is so often that God gives us strength and God rescues us and delivers us from the evil one. There's so many times. So many times I can think that God has rescued me from the evil one. And there's definitely times where he's rescued me from the evil one and I missed it. And I didn't see it. Because we don't know what all goes on in the heavenly realms. How many times God has delivered us and rescued us from the evil one. There's no one like him, church. There's no one like him in your life who will stand at your side when nobody else will. This is what Paul understood. And he's telling Timothy. This is his last letter to Timothy. The one who they were like father and son. Can you imagine being Timothy, always your mentor, your father in the spirit, in jail, ready to be put to death? Last words, what does he really say? To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. See here, Paul is encouraging Timothy to stay the course, to keep on the straight and narrow path. Why? Why do all these things? Because it is so important that the lost has every opportunity to hear about Christ in their life. Why do we endure hardships in the Christian life? Why do we endure suffering in the Christian life? It is not to be like, wow, look at me. Look how much I can endure. It's not for any of that. What's it for? It's so that you can share Christ with a dying world. So that you can share Christ with the lost. Paul knew that even if his life was taken, even if his life was taken, God would take him safely to glory. This is what he says. He says, "And I was delivered from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely," not safely out of this jail. That's not what he says. He says, "safely into his heavenly kingdom." We're not promised that we're getting safely out of jail. We're not promised that we're even getting safely sometimes out of our suffering and hardship. But what are we promised? We're promised that God will safely bring us into his presence. What does that mean? That if you have Christ in your life, nothing can take that away. No amount of suffering, no amount of not Satan, not his demons, not any of that can take that away from you. Cannot, once you are in Christ, nothing can take you out of the Father's hand. Nothing can erase you from the Lamb's book of life. It's secured. Assurance. Confidence. That God will safely bring us into his kingdom. That is why to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. There's three things I want you to remember throughout all this, all these things that Paul here is encouraging. Number one is be ready. Be ready for what? Be ready for Christ's coming. But also be watchful. Be watchful over what God has entrusted you with. Be watchful over your family. Be watchful over the church. The pastor can't always see everything. Sometimes he misses some things. This is why we're all here. Be watchful. Be ready. And endure. You have to endure. Because if you don't, you're going to quit. You're going to lose heart. You're going to give up. You have to endure. Rely on God to give you strength to endure. Amen? Amen. Fight. Number two is fight and run. Fight and run like you've never fought and like you've never run before. The race that the Lord has marked out for you. Our tracks are all different. Our opponents are all different. But we're all called to fight, and we're all called to run the race that God has marked out for us. Don't think that if because you're not running like somebody else, that you're somehow a failure. God has given you a race to run, and he's called you to run it. And number three is the most important. Remember that the Lord stands with you. When nobody else will, the Lord will. When you're all alone, many of us have felt that in our life. When we're all by ourselves, when you feel like you're the only one doing it, the only one going through it, remember that the Lord stands with us. Amen? Amen. The Lord stands with us. See, we all need to fulfill our ministry. Your ministry is too important to quit. I don't know what your ministry is. All I know is it's for the kingdom of God. Because all your ministries here are for the kingdom of God. It is too important just to quit. God has called us to it. Let that sink in for just a moment. Whatever your ministry is, God has called you to it. Therefore, God will equip you for it. Don't think I don't got the tools to do it. You do have the tools. You got everything you need to do your ministry. Don't quit. Don't stop running. Don't stop fighting. But persevere. Like you've never persevered before. And I want to end it with this last thing, just really quick. Be urgent. Why do you think Paul told Timothy all these things? Really, ultimately, I believe it's so that Timothy would be urgent. Why? Not only that the Lord could come back, but when the Nero and the government and Rome and all those people back then were coming for Christians, coming for believers to torture and kill them. What a time to be urgent. Amen. And let me tell you, when the world is falling apart as it is today, don't think it's not because it is. The world is falling apart. It's been falling apart since the fall. Slowly but surely it will fall apart. Be urgent. Do you really care for your mom? Do you really care for your dad? Do you really care for your brothers and sisters? And do you really care for your dear friends and your neighbor down the street? If you care about them, you will share with them the thing that can change their life. If in your heart you have no heart to be urgent, then there might be something wrong with your walk with God. Today might be the day to change it, but I can't change it for you. Jeremy can't change it for you. Only God can change it. Only God can change it. So let me ask you again, church. Are you fulfilling your ministry? Let's stand. We see this amazing charge that Paul gives Timothy. Not on his own authority, but on the authority of Christ. Now I'm going to charge all of you to do exactly what Paul charged Timothy to do. If today you're not for sure, man, I don't know if I can preach the word to my mom. I don't know if I can preach the word to my dad. They're not going to listen. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to pay any attention. Or your brothers and sisters, your friends, your neighbors, it's time to intercede for them. It all starts with prayer. You're not going to change them. You're not going to change their heart. But God can change their heart. I've seen it too many times in my life that God softens even the hardest of hearts. I can promise you He can do that in your life. So the altar is open for whatever. Maybe you have sin in your life. You say, Lord, I want to fulfill my ministry. Take the sin. I'm done with it.